88. It's Ava Bella Day Spa. Jason The Rock, Mike in North Little Rock, I appreciate your patience. Please hold. We have to go to the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. Michael Felder joining us now from BleacherReport.com. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Man, I'm fantastic.
Well, we're doing it, buddy. We're doing it.
Before the break, Michael, I dedicated a song from my little jukebox to Jimbo Fisher and Jameis Winston, Free Fallin' from Tom Petty. They now are number four, and it was funny because it was like, oh, we don't care if we're number two as long as we're in the playoff. Oh, we don't care if we're number three as long as we're in the playoff. Wait a minute. We got nowhere else to drop. What's the deal? So what's the deal?
I guess the committee, it just seems like they're not that impressed, and I don't know what it was about TCU taking down Texas on Thanksgiving that gave them that big bump, but I guess they saw fit to move them ahead, especially the way Florida State struggled to protect the football, I thought was the biggest issue against Florida.
So this weekend they will take on Georgia Tech, a team that we always talk about how difficult it is to defend them and prepare for them in just a week's time. Does Florida State finally get taken down this weekend, do you think?
No, I don't expect so. I think that they understand what they have to do. We've seen them play assignment football, and not just going back to 2012, but this season against the Citadel, they understand you have to play assignment football or you're going to lose. You look at Georgia Tech rising up and beating UGA, and listen, if you give them a crease, they're going to take it from you. And so I think Florida State has the personnel on the defensive side of the ball to get things done. It's just a matter for them of making sure they don't turn the ball over. And I think that they're going to be a little bit safer with the football because last week was almost a debacle.
Is this the best team he's had, you think, Paul Johnson?
Yeah, I actually do. Yeah, I think this is the best team. Although I think from a talent standpoint, the team that he had, I believe in 2008 or 2009, that won the ACC championship, had more talent. I think this is his best team of his players, not holdovers from the Chan Gailey era. I think that this is his best collection of talent. Guys that want to do it, the guys that want to play football the exact way that he wants to play. And I think it's been really cool to watch this offense come together with Laxey, with St. John Days, with Justin Thomas. They've got the pieces they need. They're executing extremely well.
Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com, joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. We were just talking before the break as well, right before I dedicated my song to Jimbo Fisher, about Brett Bielema's decision to ride Brandon Allen in the game last weekend against Missouri. Ultimately, Arkansas did not move the ball down the field. They ended up fumbling it, of course, as they were down one score. He was clearly not 100%. His brother had come in the week before against Ole Miss, and we thought played pretty well. Were you surprised by the decision? What are your thoughts on his decision to stick with Brandon Allen through the end of the game?
Yeah, I thought that they'd make a change over to Austin. You go back and watch it, and I thought that just that little extra bit of mobility, ability, you know, to protect himself and move out of the way to do some things, I thought that might have been able to help just a little more confidence and being all there. But I think ultimately, you know, it was one of those things that he figured we got this far, and I really don't want to put him back in that situation. Let's ride with the guy that we've got. And it ultimately ended up being a tough choice that you know, kind of cost him the football game.
Michael, of the championship games this weekend, we love the, I guess, craziness that can happen this weekend and really shake things up. We'd love to see some sort of discontent coming on Monday for fans of one team or another. If you had to pick an upset in any of the championship games, which way would you lean?
It's a tough one. I think, obviously, Arizona is a big candidate. They're a good football team. And with Scooby Wright playing the way he has the last few weeks, really for the entire season, I think he's an opportunity to be a Thor Mario to side. So I think that's a good one. Georgia Tech is a lot of people like to pick. I think Florida State takes care of business on them. It's tough to call Wisconsin Ohio State an upset, but I think if Cardale Jones, who with Ohio State's the underdog, if Cardale Jones can have some success throwing the football, I think Ohio State, even though they're ranked higher, can pull that upset in terms of point spread. So I think that they can get that one done. But it's going to be – I'm very curious to watch how that game really plays with respect to what people think of Ohio State and how they understand that they're going in with their third-string quarterback.
How much do you know about him? Sorry, Pat. I was going to ask. How much do you know about this third-string kid?
Cardale Jones is a heck of a football player, man. When he came out of high school, it was him and JT Barrett. You pay attention to him in the spring, and they were running neck and neck to really be Braxton Miller's replacement. Miller obviously does not heal. They run neck and neck again, and Barrett ends up getting the starting spot. Jones, I believe, is a little bit better athlete than JT Barrett, but he's not as polished in terms of throwing the football. That's why you saw him with a lot of hands off. I expect they may run the option a little bit more with him, run more zone read with Cardale Jones. than they do with JT Barrett, because Barrett's biggest strength is more his ability to push the ball with his arm, I believe, and his ability to make decisions quickly. So I think for Jones, we're going to see him – we're going to see him a little more horizontal passing. We're probably going to see him take some shots off play action deep, but I think he's going to have to complete some intermediate passes for the Buckeyes to get the win.
Michael, we heard this morning that Arkansas State is headed back to the GoDaddy Bowl in Mobile, and I'm sure the fans are excited because we weren't sure they were going to go to a bowl game at all this year because of the number of bowl-eligible teams in the Sun Belt. For Arkansas, they are also bowl-eligible. There was some smattering that maybe they would be left out with all of the bowl tie-ins not being enough to cover all the bowl-eligible teams for the SEC. I don't expect that to happen. What's your gut tell you about where Arkansas is going to be headed?
Man, I'll tell you what, that's a tough one, because especially if they have to take somebody else's spot. So I'm waiting to see, just like everybody else, to find out where they shake out, because with all the teams that are eligible, if they take someone else's spot, it's probably going to end up being one of the smaller leagues. One of the Big 12s as well, because they have some teams that aren't going to go. So I'm curious. Mm-hmm. I'm just as curious as you are. I've been trying to pay attention to that, but I've been swamped when it comes to coaching searches and this guy moving here and his flight touchdown here.
Michael, a couple other things off the field. First, what do you think about UAB's program? We talked about it yesterday, them shutting it down, some of the reasons why, and is this something we're going to see from a lot more teams throughout the country?
Here's the issue, and obviously UAB is a very special case because of that was a Bear Bryant's son and the issues they had with him starting the program and people never wanting them to have it to begin with. So I think that is a unique issue. I think what we are going to see are teams that are on that outside of the Power Five, teams in the Group of Five, I don't think we're going to see them, like we saw at UAB, just instantly shut down their program. I think what we are going to see are some people make the decision to go back to FCS or create some sort of a pairing with FCS, because ultimately, as they keep being left out, as the money keeps dwindling, especially as we see teams scheduled differently now, I think they're going to have to make a decision about being supported more by the NCAA through the playoff structure than they have at the FCS, or trying to find a way to get a bigger slice of the pie, and I just don't know that's going to happen with the new deal intact.
So I didn't realize some of these other teams, they'll be able to get money back? Because some of these teams lose money, and I don't understand why they still have a team considering they lose money, but I didn't realize that.
Some reason you do this job.
They're able to get money back from the NCAA, or that supports them?
No,
is that what you were saying?
I think what I'm talking about is the playoff structure through the NCAA, and obviously the way their money is made. If you're a group of five team, then the NCAA, you may get a little money from them, but ultimately your money's going to come from the money game. Your money's going to come from the cash games that you play with people, and then your slice of the ball pie. It's going to be a little bit bigger now, but ultimately as that number shrinks, in terms of the amount of teams that are playing and the slice of the pie, not going to a big game, not going to a major game, means that you have less money to split among your conference. There's only one slot for major games now. And so while that they're going to get a bigger payout, they're also not getting as much of that payout because there are more teams slotted in that mix. You look at Appalachian State, they've moved up. Georgia Southern, they've moved up. Georgia State's a team now. University of Texas, San Antonio, they're a team now. So there's a lot more teams that are also trying to get into that mix right before they kind of place the moratorium on it. Whereas you look at FCS teams, they also play money games, but in addition to that, they go to the playoff. That playoff is all supported by the NCAA, and so they are helped out a little bit more there. And they don't have to pay the major scholarship numbers. They don't have to pay for 85 scholarships. They pay for 65, the 63 or 65 scholarships. That's a lot of money in terms of athletes. That's a lot of money in terms of what you have to have in your other sports, such as all your women's sports, what you can do with your men's sports. So I think there's a little bit of a payout to be at FCS in terms of what you can do, what you can manage. They got to pay a lot of money to be at the FBS level, and it's not easy.
Michael? You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I thought we lost you. I'm sorry. I was just starting to think. I'm like, man, are they going to drop women's programs too? I'm thinking, boy, if I'm a scholarship bowler at UAB or something like that, I'd be kind of concerned. Well, yeah, I mean, you can if you're having a match because of Title IX, the scholarship numbers. I mean, they're going to be significantly fewer scholarships. So we'll see. What about? I never thought I would live long enough to see Florida, Michigan, and Nebraska all open at the same time as far as head coaching positions. Any feeling? I guess there was a report this morning that maybe McElwain from Colorado State, the former Alabama offensive coordinator, may go to Florida. What are you hearing there, and what's your expectation on the other two?
Yeah, until there's an official no, I think McElwain's still going to be the guy at Florida. I think for Nebraska, mm-hmm. they're really sold on having Scott Frost come in, sort of the prodigal son returning home. Very curious to see what he does. He's been the offensive coordinator at Oregon for a couple years. At Michigan, mm-hmm. I don't know. I have no idea what they're going to do because they're so steeped in tradition, but what they don't realize is that they've been passed. And they're not just passed because they weren't good under Brady Hoke, but passed because they haven't – since 2006, they have been a team that's been spinning its wheels. Yes, they went to the Sugar Bowl, but guess what? That roster is not as good as Michigan State's roster. It's not as good as Ohio State's roster. It's on the verge of not being as good as Penn State's roster with the class that they're bringing in, and that's a problem for them. They don't have the player development that you're seeing at Wisconsin right now. They don't have the player development in some spots that we're seeing at Nebraska right now. So it's going to be mm-hmm. interesting to see what the new guy can get in. They have some raw, talented players. Jabril Peppers is a guy we didn't see much of this year, who I think can be a superstar for them. I think given bunches of the lead for the NFL, he absolutely probably should. But you look around that team, and they've got some guys that can play. They've also got some guys that need to learn how to play football, so they need a good football coach. Harbaugh's, both of them, are going to be kicked out there. Les Miles is an interesting one because if he leaves, I will be stunned if he leaves just because of how much more difficult his life will be on the recruiting trail if he's in Michigan compared to being at LSU. And that's at LSU competing against everybody else in the SEC West.
Still, you think Deshaun Harbaugh goes to Michigan?
Say what?
What about Harbaugh to Michigan?
Yeah, they're going to be mentioned, and it'll be. I think obviously he'd be a great fit. I can't imagine leaving an NFL job to go coach at Michigan. It just.
Yeah. Hey, well, one quick thing I wanted to ask you too.
How about him and his brother together?
Houston Nutt's a native Arkansan, obviously he's got, you know, well known to a lot of Razorback fans here. There's been news of him to Tulsa. Have you even heard of that or thought about it? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Haven't thought about it. I know he wants to get back into coaching. He's got that itch, and you know how guys are. I think Tulsa would be an interesting fit because Tulsa's done such a good job in certain spots of hiring younger guys. So I'd be interested to see what they could do with a guy like the Houston Nutt.
Michael, we appreciate the time, and I get a lot to get to, so we will let you get to it, and we'll catch up again here in a couple of weeks and talk about some bowl matchups.
Sounds good. You guys take it easy.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com. Good stuff. And
he played football at North Carolina, right?
Correct, sir. He
I'm
did not
ask him.
He didn't have any layup
week.
Classes, though. He had to do all his work on his own.
I'm going to ask him next week about that.
Is Mike on there, Matty T?
He is. He didn't say anything, but he may be just listening on his phone. Mike, you there?
Roll Tide, gentlemen.
Mike, I appreciate your patience, even though you said that ridiculous thing right out of the gate. What's up, buddy?
Not much. First off, I wanted to toot my own horn just a little bit. I called overtime yesterday and called the McElwain, Florida. It's pretty much a done deal. He's already agreed to keep the defensive staff and everything. Miller.
What's the buyout on him? Have you read that?
No, I don't know what his buyout is.
Okay.
You know what I was going to say, too? It would be funny. And nobody would ever do this, but Pelini clearly is not a great head coach, but he is a really good defensive coordinator. Has a head coach ever stepped down and taken over a coordinator position and stayed at the same school? I know that sounds weird, but anyway, I just thought it was kind of funny.
I'm sure it probably happened in the old days.
Yeah, probably so.
Okay,
what's up?
Will Braxton Miller have 1 year or 2 years left?
I think
of eligibility.
1 year.
1 year.
Just 1 year? Oh, okay.
From my sources. Buyout McElwain, $7.5 million.
Are you kidding me?
Dollars.
Jeremy Foley farts 7 point whatever $1 million a day.
Oh my god. So old strippers, what does that mean?
There's 7 million more. $7 million more. No big deal.
With this playoff thing, with Florida State being dropped,
mm-hmm.
the one thing that concerns me about it is the precedent that they're setting for future playoffs. Because, I mean, basically what they're saying is because true enough, Florida State turns out didn't have the hardest out-of-conference schedule or as hard as it looked at the beginning of the season. But they still had Notre Dame, Florida, and Oklahoma State, which are all three Power 5 teams. Well, Notre Dame's not, but they are. But my concern is, what happens this weekend if they play Georgia Tech and beat them, but they beat them in overtime, and Baylor goes down and beats Kansas State by 40? Do they drop them out of the top four as an undefeated
team?
That's
where I think you got to keep them in, personally, because they've shown that all they do is win, and
that's what you're able
to do that through your season.
They have as much chance of beating K-State by 40 as you do of ordering a chicken sandwich and zombie burger this afternoon. Not good.
Well, I understand that, but the chance is still there. Or if Ohio State goes and beats Wisconsin by 30, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, we'll see. I think it's all about style points down the stretch because the margin between these teams is so small. Mike,
what I love about sports, we're going to find out.
We got to take a timeout, man. Appreciate it. When we come back, I've got a crazy story related to food.
No, you don't.
From right here in Des Moines, Iowa, where we are located today.
Good. You know what else I know they have here right here in Des Moines, Iowa?
Razorback road trip, baby.
They've got Wendy's. I can prove it, right, Frank?
It is a fast food story. It does not involve our good friends at Wendy's.
Wendy's Bacon Portobello Melt. Frank, before I leave here, I'm going to get you a Wendy's Bacon Portobello Melt. It's a juicy cheeseburger topped with rich portobello mushrooms and a melty cheddar sauce, crisp applewood. Know how much you like applewood smoked bacon on a toasted brioche bun. Doesn't get better than that. And you can make it a combo meal, natural cut sea salt fries, and a drink, power you through the day. Boom! In addition to that, you can get the apple pecan salad, the barbecue ranch chicken salad, and the ranch chicken sandwich. Wendy's, they'll do it any way you want it. Good news is, the bacon portobello melt is fresh and ready to go right now. Unleash the power of the melt. That's Wendy's way. It's actually at Wendy's for a limited time, so hurry on over. We'll be back in the zone live from Frank's Kitchen.
By my side, but then I spent so many nights just thinking how you'd done me wrong. I grew strong, I learned how to get along, and so you're back from outer space.